97.9 The Box in the studio with me this morning. Please welcome Robbie Tolin. Good morning. For the person who may not know about this story, it's about 6 years ago. I want to go back and revisit the Robbie Tolin story about what happened to you in Bel Air.
Okay. December 31st, 2008, my cousin and I were out with some friends, came back around 2:30 or so, roundabout. Pulled up in front of my driveway, parked in front of the house, and there was a police officer behind me. Bel Air is a small neighborhood with their own police department. You know, this is not abnormal for them. I see them all the time at, you know, all hours of the night. So, you know, cousin and I got out the car, walked up the driveway. We get to the front porch, and there's a gun and flashlight at us saying, you know, an officer saying, get out on the ground.
And I'm gun is already pulled out.
Gun is pulled out, flashlight on us, get on the ground. I said, for what? He said, I'm not going to say it again. Get on the ground. I said, sir, what's going on? What do we do? He said, you know, we got a report of a stolen car. I said, no, sir, that's a mistake. This is my car. This is my house. I'm not going to tell you again. Get on the ground. I'm like, for what? I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, so my parents, having just gotten home themselves, hear me outside saying, you know, this is my car. This is my house. This is my car. So they come outside in their pajamas. My dad walks out first. Hey, what, you know, what's going on? Well, sir, we got a report that car is stolen. He said, no, sir, that's a mistake. This is my son. This is my nephew. That's our car. This is our house. We live here. At that point, the officer puts his gun on my dad and says, you get up against the car. He takes my dad over at gunpoint, puts him up against the car that's in the driveway because I parked on the street. Mm-hmm. Puts him up against the car that's in the driveway and starts checking him for weapons, you know, what's going on. And so my mom is like, you know, this is crazy that we lived here at the time for 15 years. We've never had anything like this happen. You know, and I went to Baylor High School, played baseball all 4 years. Mm-hmm. At that point, another officer, because the whole time he's calling for backup, another officer runs up the driveway, comes behind my mom, grabs her, drags her to the garage door, and throws her up against it. And at that point, I was on the ground. You know, I saw him do that to my mom, and I lost it. I said, hey, get your such and such a hands off my mom. He didn't say a word. He just looked at me and pulled his gun and shot me in the chest.
Yeah, you still hear this story and you're like, this is crazy.
And what many people don't know is that there were two other police shootings the same day. One was Oscar Grant in Oakland. If you guys remember the movie Fruitvale Station is based off of. Yeah. And then Adolph Grimes in New Orleans. All same day.
I just want you to take me back to when you got shot. What did your mom do then? You
prayed,
shot.
Prayed.
Was she screaming? Was
she
your dad
screaming? I mean, you have.
Do you really remember all that? Though?
Yeah, I didn't lose consciousness at all, man. Wow. It was crazy. You'll have to hear her tell the story to kind of get it. So the officer, you know, took her and threw her against the wall. She was in front of the officer. He actually had to reach over her to fire. So she saw the fire go across, and you know, she saw her only son get shot. It was undoubtedly traumatic. She was screaming and praying. And, you know, she says this when she tells the story, but just in case I lost consciousness or just in case I wasn't aware, she wanted to pray loud enough so that I could hear her. That might have been what kept me fighting, man. Because, I remember she just saying, Robbie, pray. So, you know, the bullet went through my chest, pierced my lung.
And I'm going to ask, how serious was that?
It's about 2.5 inches to the right of my heart, went through my lung. And lodged in my liver. And so, you know, I can't breathe. I'm gasping for air. I just remember her saying, Robbie, pray, call on Jesus. So I was trying to pray, but I was, you know, so I started saying the Lord's Prayer in my head, but yeah, man, I think that's what kept me fighting.
This to you is a obvious case of racial profiling. Obviously. To you and your family, yeah. There's not a question, you're taking it to court. And
well, yeah,
you did.
So both cops that were involved were not rookies. You know, the one that shot me was like a 10-year vet, and the other one was like, I want to say 6 years on the force. But at the time, we lived there for 15 years. You know,
you think this night was a different night?
That I can't answer, man. I don't know. From what I hear, there were a series of burglaries, car burglaries in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. From what I understand, they had a meeting. Before that shift, they had a meeting, and they were kind of like, oh, we're going to get somebody.
Whoever
we're gonna get something. You know, I'd had that.
Couldn't
call
he
for
have
4 years.
He could have ran the plates to find out all that information before he even got out the car.
Allegedly ran the plate and allegedly typed in one digit wrong, and it came back a stolen Nissan, but it was a sedan, and I had an SUV. you know, we have video of the dash cam and the computer thing.
Yeah, all the stuff he's typing.
And it says, you know, possible hit, which means, you know, it might be stolen, you know, verify. And it kept saying verify, verify. And he just went gung-ho, like, oh, got him.
So what happens when you take this whole thing to court?
We had a criminal trial back in 2010.
Yes.
My parents and I weren't allowed to be in the courtroom because, you know, we were witnesses, of course. And
okay.
My family was well represented, and they say that the prosecutor did a great job, but he was acquitted. Officer was acquitted.
Now, when the officer was acquitted, was this a jury trial?
Jury trial.
And then who was on the jury?
I want to say 10 whites and 2 blacks. Okay. The 2 blacks were female.
Both females, right? Yeah.
And it was predominantly women on the jury, I believe.
So where does this leave the family now? Because now we're like, what, 6 years later?
6 years, yeah, it'll be 6 years.
So you guys didn't get what you thought those people involved had coming to them. What do you do at this point? What are you doing at this point?
Well, we filed a civil suit that was placed in Judge Melinda Harmon's court here in Houston, mm-hmm. which was thrown out. Dismissed by her.
Do they give reason?
She qualified immunity. She looked at the evidence and said he did what any reasonable officer would have done in that situation, that he feared for his life. And, you know, that's the scapegoat. That's all you got to say as an officer. We appealed to the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, which is understandably the most conservative court in the country, appeals court in the nation,
mm-hmm.
by a panel of 3 judges. One, you guys remember the name Edith Jones? Edith Jones is now under investigation for said some like disparaging things about blacks and Hispanics being predisposed to commit heinous crimes versus whites.
Wow.
She said this at a speaking engagement at the University of Pennsylvania. She was one of the judges on the 3 in New Orleans that had our case. So they threw it out. We filed another appeal to have all 17 judges on the panel hear it.
Mm-hmm.
They dismissed it as well, even though 3 of the 17 wrote briefs in our favor. Having gone through all the necessary channels, we took it up to the Supreme Court. As of May 5th, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously in our favor. First time in over 10 years that the Supreme Court has ruled against a police officer. As our new attorney would love to say, that to get them to hear your case is you know, incredible. Because they get tens of thousands of petitions a year. To mm-hmm. get them to rule in your favor is remarkable, and it's historic to get them to rule unanimously in your favor. So,
and your attorney is Benjamin Crump, correct?
Crump, yeah.
And he's the same attorney that represented Trayvon Martin's parents.
Correct, correct.
So what does this mean?
Yeah.
For all of those people like myself that don't know.
So it's a fair question.
This means is the Supreme Court, and you can find the ruling online, but basically what the Supreme Court said was that you, talking to the courts,
mm-hmm.
you only considered the evidence favorable to the officer. You didn't even consider looking at the evidence of the total family. That's basically what they said.
Okay, gotcha.
And so all this, you know, he feared for his life. He did what any reasonable officer would have done. The Supreme Court said you didn't even look at that evidence from the Tolan family. You didn't even consider that evidence. So you have to now consider that evidence. You have to listen.
So now,
are
you telling me you got to start over then on this process, basically?
Yes and no. So now the Supreme Court remanded it back to the Fifth Circuit. As of like 2.5 weeks ago, they remanded it back to Melinda Harmon's court. So we will have a jury trial in Houston now.
And it's going to be the same judge?
Same judge, yeah.
Robbie told us who we're talking to. Go ahead, Mac. I just want to...
It's been 6 years. Do you still live in Bel Air?
No.
And how do you feel about the Bel Air, the police department now?
The Bel Air Police Department, I feel differently than other police departments and other policemen. And, you know, in the 6 years that this has happened, I've gotten, you know, approached by dozens and dozens of police officers. Not in a criminal sense,
right.
But, you know, just approaching me, hey, you know, we were praying for you. You know, I was messed up, XYZ. You know, like anything else, there are good ones and bad ones. I'm not going to let that situation skew my view of all the people out there that are trying to do good. Man, I got cousins and stuff that are police officers. So there are good ones and bad ones. But the Bel Air Police Department, I feel like a lot of the brass from the Bel Air Police Department is still there. But the officer that shot me was promoted not too long ago. After the criminal trial, after he was acquitted, he was back like the next week. And he was a sergeant at the time. He's now a lieutenant.
Did you ever get a chance to speak with him after everything that happened? Did he ever offer an apology, or did the Bel Air Police Department offer an apology?
No.
He never offered an apology?
No.
to have shot a man that was unarmed in the front yard of his home, and he never said, "Hey, man."
Nope, nothing. No,
no statement.
All he said was, "I'm glad this is over, and I'm ready to get back to work."
So what are the next steps for you and your family? Is there a date set for the trial?
The date has not been set as of yet. Criminal trial was reset like 3 times before we actually had it. So I'm not, you know, the date that will be set is tentative. So
this is a civil case that's going back to the court in Bel Air, right?
Correct, civil case, yeah.
Do you know what the damages you're suing for and how much? Or you have guys not?
We haven't talked about that yet.
This is expensive.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because most times, this is how they get you in court.
Oh,
They can just tie it along as long as they want.
Absolutely. It's been a blessing as well because, you know, they picked the right family. You know what I'm saying? It was unfortunate, but at the same time fortunate that I was who I was and whose I was. We had a very good appellate attorney, Martin Siegel, who was a classmate of President Obama's.
Wow.
Worked for almost a year and some change without a dime. We sold our house in Bel Air to pay him.
Wow. God doggy. Your parents sell their house. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be a terrible feeling.
You know, my mom will tell you, you know, like she didn't even bat an eyelash. Like, this is something that we're going to fight for, and we're going to go through whatever we need to go through to get it done. So, you know, I just, I'm
the family's committed to justice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like I said, man, we were fortunate to be able to, you know, have that spotlight on it. And, you know, because a lot of times, you know, how often does this happen and we never hear anything about it? How often does it happen and the families don't have the resources to take it to the Supreme Court, take it to appeals court?
So I got you.
I could be bitter and angry. That'd be easy. But there are so many blessings in this. And I think, again, that's the challenge, to find those little lights.
Do you hold on to any resentment whatsoever?
I don't know if resentment is the word. I mean, I still love the game of baseball. I would still love to play. I'm able to, and if, you know, I'm given the opportunity, I would love to play. But it's hard to be resentful. Being angry and being bitter is very, very easy. You know, I think the challenge is being able to overcome that and do it in a way that's positive and that helps other people out.
Robbie Tolan, good luck to y'all, man. I hope everything turns out the way you guys deserve it to turn out.
Thank you.